Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 15th of February. I'm Beth.
I'm Sue.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Margaret Coley and Joan Simmons. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Sue will start us off with the news.
21 people have been sentenced following an investigation into the sale of crack cocaine and heroin using the Stratford, Stourbridge, Kidderminster train line. A gang with links to Dudley and Wolverhampton took the lucrative drugs trade in Kidderminster and Stratford-upon-Avon and supplied over £300,000 in total between September 2013 and December 2014. The sentencing at Warwick Crown Court was the culmination of a complex 18-month investigation led by the Serious and Organised Crime Unit of Warwickshire Police and West Mercia Police. DCI Ali Wright said an organised crime group from Wolverhampton saw an opportunity to make money by supplying crack cocaine and heroin in Stratford-upon-Avon and Kidderminster. It displaced established dealers and gained a foothold in order to corner the illegal drugs market in the towns. Local drug users were then recruited to facilitate the supply of the drugs. A series of early morning warrants were executed across Wolverhampton and Stratford-upon-Avon on June 2015 as part of the arrest phase of Operation Southall, which involved working closely with West Midlands Police. D.S. Shaw said, "I hope that the sentencing handed out by the court sends out a clear message that the supply of drugs will not be tolerated." The people sentenced as part of Operation Southall, who were from towns ranging from Wolverhampton, Dudley, Kidderminster, Bidford-on-Avon, Stratford-on-Avon, were given custodial sentences ranging from 6 months to 6 years, depending on the severity of their involvement.
Campaigners opposed to Donald Trump's state visit to the UK have reacted angrily to reports that he could stage a mass rally in Birmingham. The Stop Trump Coalition, which includes Birmingham Ladywood MP Shabana Mahmood, rejected claims that a ticket-only speech by the US president in the West Midlands would attract a lower level of protest than a similar event in London. Reports in several national newspapers suggested that the National Exhibition Centre could host Mr. Trump, with proceeds raised by ticket sales donated to the Royal British Legion. The Sunday Telegraph reported that a speech in the heartland of Brexit might offer President Trump a more sympathetic hearing as a supporter of Britain out of Europe. Responding to the reports, Ms. Mahmood said, "Birmingham is a wonderfully diverse city, home to people of every background, every faith. President Trump, with his hateful and divisive rhetoric, policies and Muslim ban, is not welcome here." Labour councillor Kerry Jenkins, who represents the Hall Green area of Birmingham, said, "If these rumours are proven, I will be calling on all colleagues and citizens to stand together and demonstrate, as we have done many times before in our great city, when far-right politics has reared its ugly head. Birmingham is a diverse and tolerant city that welcomes visitors from around the world, but I really hope that Donald Trump is not welcome here. He is a racist and a misogynist who is using his power to divide." Last June's referendum saw Birmingham narrowly vote to quit the European Union, with Leave on 50.4% and Remain on 49.6%. Across the West Midlands, 59.3% of voters backed Brexit.
A taxi boss has revealed a driver is considering giving up his job after being brutally attacked by two thugs. Shaz Salim, the chairman of the Dudley Private Hire and Taxi Association, said Sheikh Abbas thought he was going to be killed when he was being repeatedly punched by the two men in the early hours of the morning. The Stourbridge taxi driver had picked the men up from the ABM taxis base in Vauxhall Road and was taking them to the Village Hotel in Dudley. Mr. Salim said the pair had told the driver they needed cash, so he had stopped off at the BP petrol station in Lye. He continued, "This isn't unusual," and he said they seemed genuine. When they got back into the taxi, they decided they wanted to go to Hallchurch Road in Dudley. Again, this wasn't unusual. People tend to change their minds. But when he got to Hallchurch Road and asked them for the fare, he noticed they were trying to light his back seats up. He asked them what they were doing, and one of them got out of the car and took his keys from the ignition. Mr. Salim said the men demanded cash in exchange for the keys before they attacked 43-year-old Mr. Abbas. He was repeatedly punched before neighbours heard the commotion and disturbed the pair, who ran off with Mr. Abbas's keys, cash, mobile phone and PDA system. Paramedics were called and took Mr. Abbas to Russell's Hall Hospital, where the father of four required stitches for a facial injury. Mr. Salim said he thought he was going to be killed. He doesn't believe they would have stopped if it wasn't for the neighbours. He's so grateful to them.
Plans are being put in place to reduce the number of unauthorised traveller camps across the West Midlands. David Jameson, West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner, hosted a summit in hope of finding a solution to the region-wide issue. The summit, which was attended by MPs, other PCCs, senior police officers, council officers and members of the travelling community, heard how the number of unauthorised sites in the West Midlands has risen from 189 to 395 since 2011. Andrew Lee, the head of Dudley Council's Housing Strategy and Development Service, spoke at the summit to reveal that last year there were 20 unauthorised encampments in Dudley compared to 6 in 2012. He continued, "It had a significant impact on limited resources and we spent £57,000 to clear up sites. We had a pretty difficult year. It was an expensive cat and mouse game across the borough. We applied for a borough-wide possession order, but that was rejected by the courts. Instead, they gave us an order that covered a number of neighbouring sites. There was an impact on community relations as well, and it was really quite difficult. Nasty situations did arise within communities." Deputy Head of Operations, Superintendent Phil Dolby, said that since the end of last summer, agencies had been working together and formed a positive partnership in a bid to ease the problems, but added, "At the moment, we are not doing the right job in the right way for everybody. This summit helped us to see that and move forward on a more productive path. An action plan has been drawn up which will give greater protection for private businesses, increase the use of official transit sites with electricity and bathrooms, and outline one set of protocols for all councils and the police to follow."
A crooked Black Country accountant has been warned that she is going back to prison if she does not pay back more than £70,000 in the next 3 months. Gail Henshaw was jailed for 2 years, 8 months in August 2015 for her part in a near £300,000 tax fiddle. She is now free again, having been released from the sentence on licence and returned to Wolverhampton Crown Court to hear the price she must pay for her involvement in the racket. Judge Barry Berlin ruled that Henshaw, aged 50 and from Willenhall, had personally made £150,000 from the fraud and still had assets worth £71,000 that could be seized. He ordered her to pay back that amount of money in 3 months or face a further 18 months in jail. The cash will come from her share of equity in her matrimonial home, valued at almost £53,500, and a £2,500 Ford Escort, and a £15,900 £980 from a tax-free ISA savings account, revealed Mr. Stefan Kolodinsky, prosecuting. He also disclosed that the headline figure of the fraud had been reduced by £42,000 through reconciliation of accounts, since the total was initially said to have been £296,025. The mother of Two's cafe owner, lover Mario Troisky, who laundered money from the Fiddle through his bank account, had made £54,000 from the racket, reducing her share of the ill-gotten gains to £200,000. Mr. Kolodinsky told the Proceeds of Crime, POCA, hearing, the POCA officials have been pragmatic in trying to reach a compromise and have reduced the figure by a further £50,000 to £150,000. Henshaw's legal team agreed the new figures for her three-year racket and accepted both the amount and the terms of the repayment. The bookkeeper and tax assessor ran a one-woman business, variously called either Hawkswell Accounts Services and Gail Henshaw Accounts Service, from her home in Hawkswell Drive, Willenhall, and mainly acted for the self-employed. She turned to crime by making bogus claims for tax rebates on behalf of scores of clients, which she kept to fund a £25,000 a month gambling habit, the prosecution said. She submitted false applications using the names of up to 200 of the people on her books, often changing their home address to her own, and pocketed the money after it had been laundered through the bank account of 54-year-old Troisky, who received an identical sentence. Henshaw, who later moved to Hazelgrove, Bilston, pleaded guilty to two charges of fraud in abuse of a position of trust between 2010 and 2014.
More than 440 warnings and 250 fines have been issued since a new bus lane camera went live in Wolverhampton city centre. Since the Darlington Street camera went live on January the 9th, 447 warnings have been sent out as well as 251 penalty notices. For the first 2 weeks, drivers were allowed a grace period, meaning they were sent warning letters rather than fines. In the 2 weeks since, the City Council has started issuing fines and the number of people using the lane illegally has dropped dramatically. Restrictions at Darlington Street last 24 hours and each penalty notice carries a fine of £60, reduced to £30 if paid within 14 days. Councillor Roger Lawrence, who represents St Peter's, had no sympathy for those caught. He said if people didn't drive in the bus lanes, they wouldn't get caught, would they? Councillor Tersim Singh, who also represents St Peter's, added, people who get caught by the camera only have themselves to blame. There are warning signs there that it's a bus lane. You do see a lot of people flouting it, so I expect quite a few will be caught. The decision to install the cameras was made at a full council meeting in December. Two more new bus lane cameras have been delayed. One in Wensfield High Street has been postponed because the council is waiting for a specialist camera to arrive, while another in Hall Street, Bilston, has been held up due to the challenge of installing signs while traffic runs through the bus station. When they are put up, the additions will bring the number of bus lane cameras in the city up to 12.
None of the hospital trusts in the Black Country and Staffordshire met A&E waiting time targets to admit 95% of patients within 4 hours in December. The latest figures from NHS England highlight how emergency departments are struggling to cope with record-breaking numbers of patients. But in the midst of the crisis, staff at the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust have been praised for working in the eye of the current storm. The four-hour targets were first introduced back in 2004, and the original expectation being that 98% of patients would be discharged, admitted or transferred within 4 hours, although this was later relaxed to 95% in 2010. Last month, Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt said that the four-hour waiting time should be revised to remove non-urgent cases, but it is still used as a guideline for trusts to monitor standards of A&E care. University Hospitals of North Midlands NHS Trust, which includes County Hospital Stafford, saw 73.4% of patients in less than 4 hours. Over at Walsall Healthcare NHS Trust, 79% of patients were discharged, admitted or transferred in 4 hours. Sandwell and West Birmingham Hospitals NHS Trust met the four-hour target in 81.9% of cases. Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust saw 90.8% of its patients discharged, admitted or transferred within 4 hours. And the best performing trust in the Black Country for December was the Royal Wolverhampton, which managed to see 91.5% of its patients in less than 4 hours.
Hospital trusts across the Black Country are owed more than £1.3 million from overseas patients, it can be revealed. The bills have been racked up by visitors who are not entitled to free healthcare in the country, but then require treatment. Examples include a pregnant mother who had a premature birth at Walsall Manor Hospital and now owes more than £50,000. A total of £1,329,202.59 is owed to the hospital trusts in Wolverhampton, Sandwell, Dudley and Walsall. West Midlands MEP Bill Etheridge, who is also a councillor in Dudley, said the figures were very, very concerning and he called for a stop to be put on health tourism. He said this is a prime example of it being the NHS, National Health Service, not the IHS, the International Health Service. It is great when you have paid into it and need looking after, but when it comes to health tourism and the costs are never recouped, it is very expensive. These figures are really, really concerning, especially when hospitals tell us that they are in crisis. I have spoken to a lot of hospital staff who say the very basic things, such as trolleys, are not being upgraded. And it is no surprise to hear why, when money like this is being leached from the system, it is very, very concerning and needs to stop. The Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, which runs New Cross Hospital and Cannock Chase Hospital, is owed £621,028.59. The trust said it had come to an arrangement with individuals, meaning at least £175,000 was to be recovered. Meanwhile, £285,198.81 has been referred to a debt recovery agency, with the rest yet to be allocated either to the agency or a payment plan. A spokesman said, "We always strive to recover monies that are owed to the trust." Sandwell and West Birmingham Hospital's National Health Service Trust, which runs Sandwell General Hospital and Rowley Regis Hospital, is owed £58,000. The trust, which runs Russell's Hall Hospital, the Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust, is owed a small figure compared to others. It is owed £69,945. Dr. Paul Harrison, acting chief at the trust, said, "We take monies owed to the trust very seriously, and in all cases, we vigorously pursue outstanding debt."
A new West Midlands Police website will allow the public to report crime online and speak to the force via web chats. As part of a series of new measures being brought in under the WMP, that's West Midlands Police, 2020 Change Programme, the force will be introducing what it calls the Digital Experience for Citizens, or DEC, on a revamped website. It will be trialled this spring and then introduced by the summer. Sandwell Police's Chief Superintendent Richard Baker said, "At the moment, our internet site has basic information with phone numbers and addresses to get in contact. It's going to become far more interactive, so people are able to report crime on it and use web chat to talk about issues. A lot of things that come into us aren't actually police issues, so these can then be diverted to other agencies. It will provide the public with another way to get in touch and hopefully a better response, rather than ringing 101 and sometimes getting an answer, sometimes waiting 15 minutes to get an answer, or sometimes not getting an answer at all. Although the new service would not replace 101, it is hoped it will enable the force to deal with more cases and decide what incidents need to be attended." Chief Superintendent Baker said, "We can speak to a victim of crime on web chat or phone and make an assessment as to whether we need to send someone out. We will still go out to investigate lines of inquiry, to collect evidence like CCTV and check for fingerprints or blood. These are major changes for the staff internally and for our community in how they are used to speaking to a police officer. But there will be far more ways to contact us and to get a response. WMP 2020 is the biggest overhaul of how the force operates and follows £126 million being cut from its budget in the last 5 years. WMP 2020 is estimated to cost in the region of £77 million, but expected to secure £116 million of savings."
West Park Hospital could close as it emerged. Health bosses are considering its future. The three-ward facility in Park Road West, Wolverhampton, provides rehabilitation services for patients with neurological disorders and those who have suffered strokes. Bosses at the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, which runs the hospital, are assessing whether those services could be better delivered elsewhere. But they have stressed the hospital will not be closed before a public consultation. Trust Chief Executive David Loughton said, "The Trust is always looking to improve the way in which we can provide the best possible care for every single one of our patients, and this includes looking at the best location for this care to be delivered. The care provided at West Park Hospital by our staff is an essential part of the services we deliver. There are no plans to cut services and no plans for any redundancies. What we are doing is looking at whether West Park as a building is the best place to deliver these services. This process requires diligence and scrutiny on our behalf, and if we decide on a process that we believe requires a change of location for the same service delivery but not a change of service, then we will, of course, go through the proper consultation processes with the population we serve, and we will keep staff fully engaged throughout. All of this takes time and nothing will change for some considerable time. It will not result in loss of jobs or cuts in services."
A judge has taken pity on a speeding Stourbridge driver who was badly hurt when he lost control and crashed, saying nothing he could do could match what had happened to him. John Finney was behind the wheel of a Vauxhall Astra when he raced into a right-hand bend on the wrong side of the road. The car clipped the curb, mounted part of the pavement, and then went into a spin, with Finney sustaining serious head injuries as he hit the road after being thrown from the car. Judge Barry Berlin told the 22-year-old security guard, who was just below the drink drive limit when tested after the accident, "This was sustained, high-speed, dangerous driving. My initial instinct was to send you to a long period of incarceration. But purely because of your sad circumstances, I will suspend the term." Nothing the court can do can match what has already happened to you. Finney of Lees Crescent, Blockmore, had lost the hearing in one of his ears. He required therapy to speak properly again, and he has had to overcome fatigue and memory loss. Felicity Campbell, defending, said, "He suffered life-changing injuries as a result of this, and he now faces 2 years rehabilitation. He never wishes to sit in the front seat of a car again." She told Wolverhampton Crown Court that Finney was extremely relieved that no one else had been involved as a result of his extremely foolish actions. Finney admitted driving dangerously and without insurance or licence, and he was given a 9-month suspended prison sentence. The court was told that Finney drove at speed from a set of lights and he then overtook a car on the wrong side of bollards at high speed. He lost control of the vehicle in Brettle Lane, Briley Hill, said Sati Ruck, prosecuting, and after being thrown out of the empty Vauxhall, crushed into road signs.
Dudley is a step closer to being back on the National Rail Network after Tory West Midlands mayoral candidate Andy Street revealed he wants the Black Country Railway to reopen. Mr Street believes the line, which runs from Worcester to Derby through Stourbridge Junction, Briley Hill, Dudley Castle Hill, Sandwell, Walsall, Brownhills and Lichfield, could solve congestion. He said, "I want passenger trains back on this line. If up and running, it would connect the east and the west of the Black Country without the need for trains to pass through Birmingham New Street Station. The problem with the train network in the West Midlands is the congestion at New Street. It does not have the capacity to take more local trains." He added, "We are in talks with Network Rail and West Midlands Combined Authority about the prospect of reopening this line, and it is exactly the type of project that, as Mayor of the West Midlands, I will be trying to get funding for." Mr Street, the former head of John Lewis, revealed the ambitious plan at his Ask Andy roadshow at Hales-Owen's Cornbow Hall. He was asked about the issue by rail campaigner Tim Weller, who has run a one-man campaign for several years to get the Black Country Railway reopened. Dudley train station opened in 1860 and came under the control of British Railways in 1948 after the railways were nationalised. However, it was closed as part of the beaching cuts in 1964, making Dudley one of the biggest towns in the UK without a train station.
An outraged pub landlady has vowed to fight tooth and nail after her daughter's disability benefits were withdrawn. Valerie Kelt, aged 44, has been dependent on her mother, Sheila White, landlady at the Samson and Lyme pub in Worsley, Stourbridge, for life, having been struck down with a brain tumour when she was just 7 months old. The tumour affected, stunted Valerie's growth and development, left her struggling to walk and with no short-term memory. Her mobility was evaluated in 2000 as, despite various operations, her condition was not expected to improve. As part of a successful benefits claim, Valerie was provided with a disability living allowance, a motability car, and a carer's allowance to help pay for activities she takes part in with her live-in carer, Marilyn Towler. But the Department for Work and Pensions reassessed Valerie in January this year as part of the government's new personal independence payment programme. However, in a tick-box exercise, Valerie was deemed able to complete all basic daily living and mobility tasks, and she has been told the heartbreaking news her benefits will stop later this month. Sheila has been left disgusted by the decision and she is now appealing the ruling, saying she will do whatever she could to fight for her daughter. She said, "When I received the letter from the DWP, I just couldn't believe it. All I could do was laugh at their answers. They say she can plan and accomplish a journey on her own, but she cannot manage on her own. When she goes out of the front door, she'll end up getting lost. It's just impossible for her to do anything on her own." Valerie's disability benefits are due to end on Tuesday, February the 21st, but Sheila is currently waiting for response from the DWP in relation to her appeal. The Department for Work and Pensions says it cannot comment on this case while the outcome of an appeal is awaited. But a DWP spokesman said, decisions for PIP are made following consideration of all the information provided by the claimant, including supporting evidence from their GP or medical specialist. Anyone that disagrees with the decision can ask us to look at it again and then appeal to an independent tribunal.
Stourbridge TV viewers couldn't believe their ears when they heard the town mentioned on new primetime medical drama, The Good Karma Hospital, which is set in India. The new Sunday night feel-good show about an understaffed hospital run by a group of British and Indian doctors who refuse to turn anyone away has already gone down well with television watchers, not least thanks to a cast including Amanda Redman, Neil Morrissey and Game of Thrones star Amrita Acharya. But many viewers in the Black Country were left bemused after hearing Downton Abbey star Phyllis Logan declaring in a Scottish accent, "We don't have heat like this in Stourbridge," in the opening episode. One TV fan said on Facebook, "Can't believe a programme set in India mentioned Stourbridge in Good Karma Hospital." Another said, "Great line in Good Karma Hospital. We don't get heat like this in Stourbridge." However, it was no accident that Stourbridge was mentioned in the show, according to writer Dan Sefton, who said, "It was decided that key characters Paul and Maggie Smart, played by Philip Jackson from Raised by Wolves, and Phyllis Long, who played Mrs. Hughes in Downton Abbey, would be from the Black Country, as he was looking for something more original than having them from the generic North." He said, "It was all very deliberate. The idea of the show was that we'd tell this story about being in India, so their background is quite important. We'd cast Philip Jackson from Raised by Wolves, set in Wolverhampton, and Neil Morrissey from the Midlands. So we decided to make them from that area. I found the more specific it was, the more realistic it was." Don, who has also written for top TV shows Mr. Selfridge, Secret Diary of a Call Girl, Holby City, and Death in Paradise, continued, "Friends of mine also come from there, and they sent me a link about Yam Yams. I put it into Google and thought it was brilliant, so I put it into the show." You don't see characters from the West Midlands very often on TV. It's usually Yorkshire or Manchester, so it felt quite original. And he added, "I've always remembered Stourbridge as I was a massive fan of the Wonder Stuff and Pop Will Eat Itself." He said viewers can expect quite a few local references in the six-part show created by Tiger Aspect TV for ITV over the duration of the series, which airs at 9 p.m. on Sundays. Fans of Sadler's Ales in Lye may notice a familiar brew in episode 3, he said, adding that producers had flown out bottles of Stourbridge brewed Red IPA to the set in Sri Lanka, where the entire series was filmed. Ian King, sales director at Sadler's, said, "We are very excited about having our Black Country beer in the series."
A father and daughter have been jailed for a total of 9.5 years for claiming £1.9 million in fraudulent tax returns. Jack Frederick Parfitt, aged 80, ran his family dairy farm for 40 years, and Sally Ann Parfitt, aged 51, joined in April 2001. The pair submitted fraudulent VAT repayment claims to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs from 2007 to 2013. They used the extra cash in an attempt to boost their failing business and splashed out on living expenses and mortgage repayments. Jack Parfitt of Horsley in Eccleshall in Staffordshire was found guilty of the fraudulent evasion of VAT at Bristol Crown Court and sentenced to 5 years in jail. His daughter, of the same address, was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for the same charge over the farm in Maysbury in Somerset. Assistant Director of HMRC's Fraud Investigation Service, Colin Spinks, said, "Rather than accept that their farming business was failing, the Parfitts decided to steal from the taxpayer to keep it afloat, denying vital public services of almost £2 million. They are now paying the price."
Two dedicated blood donors from Stourbridge have been honoured for potentially saving more than 600 lives between them over the years. Kevin Pickett and Andrew Brody, who have collectively made 203 donations, were recognised by NHS Blood and Transplant and presented with commemorative medals at a ceremony at Aston Villa Football Club, congratulating blood donors from across the West Midlands. Quality manager Kevin, aged 59 from Stourbridge, has been giving blood for 40 years since donating his first unit on his 19th birthday, and to date he has made 101 donations. He said, "I knew people who had benefited from blood donations and thought I would like to donate to save lives and help people who are not as lucky as to share my good health. Giving blood only takes a little time with little or no discomfort or inconvenience, and I get tea and biscuits too." Andrew from Hagley has been donating blood for around 40 years after being inspired at the age of 7 while watching Tony Hancock, the Blood Donor episode. The retired 63-year-old, who has made 102 donations, said, "After watching the episode, I asked my parents about donations and why they were necessary. I thought then that I should donate when I became old enough. Giving blood is quick, easy, convenient, and it saves lives." Karen Healy, Senior Marketing Coordinator at NHS Blood and Transplant, said, "These loyal donors are very special to us, which is why such an event gives us the opportunity to say a real heartfelt thanks. Between them, they have saved hundreds of lives and improved the lives of countless others who've required blood transfusions. These donors are an inspiration to us all. Anyone fit and healthy, weighing over 7 stone, 12 pounds, that's 50 kilograms, and aged between 17 and 66 should be able to give blood. People up to 70 can also give blood if they have previously donated. Each blood donation can potentially save the lives of up to 3 people. So if a donor has given blood 100 times, they have potentially helped save the lives of up to 300 hospital patients through donating blood. Out of the 3% of the population who give blood, only 1% reach 100 donations. Anyone interested in becoming a blood donor can call 0300 123 2323 or visit www.blood.co.uk.
A young dog lover has been nominated for an award at this year's Crufts Show. Marianne Baylis, aged 12, has been put forward for the Sean McAlpine Outstanding Young Person Prize. The award honours the efforts, compassion and devotion to dogs shown by members of the Young Kennel Club. Her proud mother, Jolene Baylis, said, "I am very proud of her. She has done all the hard work herself." Marianne, who lives in Stourbridge, was persuaded by her family and friends to begin selling items that she had made for her dogs, including dog bandanas and neckerchiefs. This year, Marianne, who attends Redhill School, raised £180 for the Cinnamon Trust and Agility Against Cancer from selling handmade toys and leads. She was named Young Kennel Club Fundraiser of the Year with the chance to join her fellow nominees at Birmingham's NEC Arena on March the 12th. The overall winner, chosen by an online vote on Facebook, will receive a £750 prize, as well as a YKC Ambassador's Badge and award. As well as going for the award, Marianne will also be competing in the dog agility, jumping and flyball events. Gerald King of the YKC said, "Congratulations to our five outstanding finalists. They are a credit to their generation, and their stories really highlight the difference that a dog can make in a person's life, or vice versa. Each year, we receive incredible entries for young people, and everyone who receives a nomination should be proud."
Patients can now have weekend appointments at 20 Dudleyborough GP surgeries. Funding for the Saturday and Sunday opening hours has come from the Dudley Clinical Commissioning Groups, that's the CCG, in a bid to reduce the pressure on hospital A&E departments throughout the winter months. Steve Wellings, chairman of Dudley CCG's Primary Care Commissioning Committee, said, "This has proved to be popular in the past and has been successful in alleviating pressure on local practices by providing extra appointments for patients in general practice. Opening hours may vary, so anyone in need of a weekend appointment should call the practice first to check if it will be open. If not, they should ask to book an appointment at another surgery, offering appointments to patients who are not registered with them. People have also been reminded that they can access urgent care through the NHS 111 service and treat minor illnesses at home or with the help and advice of a pharmacist. The participating surgeries are Dudley Central Clinic, Dudley Partnerships for Health, Keeling House Surgery, Lynx Medical Practice, Netherton Health Centre, St James's Medical Practice, the Northway Surgery, the Ridgeway Surgery and Woodseton Medical Practice, and in Hales Owen, the Clement Road Surgery and the Felden Lane Surgery, and in Brierley Hill, High Oak Surgery and the Waterfront Surgery, and finally in Stourbridge, Kings Winford Medical Practice, Three Villages Medical Practice, Wychbury Medical Group, Lion Health, Chapel Street Surgery and the Lyme Surgery. And can I just point out, as you've no doubt noticed, that the news has gone on for longer than normal because, unfortunately, we do not have this week's episode of In Touch. And now we'll make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
It's goodbye from Sue.
And goodbye from George.